as we've gone through this, areas that needed to be just discussed and described a bit more. And there's recommended actions for each one of these as well, and that's summarized at the end of Chapter 5. Then Chapter 6 is the administration of the properties, which includes bringing in the related plans and ordinances, the fees and reservations, communication planning, which is a very short blurb, but very important that there's a good communication plan amongst the people that are going to be managing these properties, including the volunteer organizations, and then again, a summary of recommended actions. Then Chapter 7, a very fun chapter, the staffing and budgets, responsibilities, current staffing, projected future staffing, what the budgets would look like for that, and then again, a summary of the recommended actions. And then Chapter 8 is simply the references section. The appendices for the document take up about as much time space as the bulk of the document, but the appendices include the information that background information for the plan, the conservation easement, the baseline condition report, programmatic agreement, the NRCS conservation plan for Silver Saddle Ranch, a description of the Silver Saddle Ranch facilities and assets, and then the BLM staffing and budget history for Silver Saddle. There are numerous tables in the documents, tons of figures, and some photos to try to illustrate some of the points made in the document. So that is a very fast, high-level, brief overview of what is in the document. It's pretty expensive to print out. They're close to about $100 a pop just because there's so much colored figures and photos in it. So I know the city made quite a few copies, but the best way to get it would be online, or if you want, we can give you a thumb drive of it. But that's why these aren't being handed out to everybody here, because they're pretty expensive.
Okay, is that at this point, anything more from staff?
Just so I don't forget, on September 2nd at the Parks and Recreation Commission, there will be another opportunity, same presentation, another opportunity for public comment.
Great, thank you. Okay, I'd like to bring it back to the committee. In doing that, I would like to recognize what I feel is an outstanding effort on behalf of staff, including extended staff. Mark Kimbrough was involved, Lynn was involved, Ann, Roger, Juan, and I'm sure Vern and others. But I'm really pleased to see this in one document. I think it reads well. I really appreciate the summary of recommendations at the end of each chapter. I really think that you've done a nice job, and I'm real pleased to see it come together this way. The maps, to me, really help. I think it's a much, a real nice user-friendly document. So I would encourage everyone who hasn't had a chance to read it thoroughly to take the time to do that. But thank you very much for what's been, I know, extended and outstanding effort. So thanks again. With that, I would ask for committee members. We'll start down, Donna, with you. Did you have any comments or items for staff at this point?
Really, just a couple of questions. Regarding Ambrose, just so I got it clear in my little old mind here, the OHV staging area is before we access the Ambrose property?
Which area are you referring to? The one
that has a sign that says OHV staging area.
Yeah, that is on BLM ground to the east of the Ambrose boundary.
So it's before you get on Ambrose. Okay, I thought it was, but I wanted to make sure. One other thing. On the agricultural lands for Silver Saddle Ranch, talk a lot about the potential problem that we're going to have over water there. And then a recommended action is review opportunities to add acreage to irrigated properties. If we already have a water problem, why would we look to irrigate more? And just, you know.
One response might be that historically there was more irrigated, and if the water were available or the effluent possibly, that might be an item. But, that water is always a question.
I just, you know, the way the world's going today, I really don't see us ever having an excess of water. We don't know what to do with it.
Since Tuesday.
No, it all comes at once and then it's gone. And the only other thing on East Silver Saddle, potential for camping area, would we be looking to add water, potable water there for campers if we were to try to do that?
Well, this is all, these are all topics for discussion, but really right now I think staff visualizes if there was any camping, there would be dry camping.
That's all I have.
Okay. Margie, anything at this point?
There's a point that I would like to make, and it's not, it's directly related to the management of this property. And what I suspect is going to take a very long time is getting the V&T Railroad down into the North Canyon, the north side of the river, and actually closing off that road. But I would like for us to keep in mind that that is likely to happen at some point, and I really want us to keep the south side of the river available. And there's nothing that says right now that we'll close it, but I know that there have been thoughts about what to do on that side of the river, and it's a very nice area, and I would like for people to be able to get down in there and enjoy that canyon. I don't want us to love it to death like happens so often, but I would like to urge us to consider keeping it available. Rather than resting it extensively.
Okay, thank you. Howard, any comments at this point?
Yes, I think this is a very important document for the Carson City Open Space Program. When I first started on the committee, we were in the business of acquiring property, and we've been very successful at that. But now we are big property owners, and as all of you know in the public and on the committee, that once you have property, you got to take care of it. And it's a big, important step. And I'm glad to see all the members of the public here to comment on this plan. And I will say that this plan, to me, is like a bridge from acquiring open space to managing it. And there's a lot of recommended actions in here that is going to take a lot more public input and a lot more public meetings to really make the recommended actions community-based actions. Community-based actions are always the best for the community. And so when you're looking at these recommended actions, I think we should all realize that there's more work to be done, but this is an important step to move forward.
Thanks, Howard. Trish.
As you know from my earlier comments, I haven't had a long time to peruse this, but I have noted on the organizational chart that we were provided that there's a proposal to add three full-time and two more part-time positions to our staff, which I think is a pipe dream considering our budget, but I guess it's something that we look at in the future. I just thought that was something I hadn't heard in our meetings prior to this.
Okay. Laura.
I don't have any specific questions. I absolutely agree that this is a very important document. It's really accessible, and I'm just really grateful that we have it here tonight. Thanks.
Toby.
I guess I would just like to second what Donna said concerning the agriculture. If there are water issues, then it does kind of raise a question. I'd like to recommend that we look into the potential for dry land, efficient irrigation, or drought-tolerant agricultural practices, maybe that test bed area. That'd be kind of cool. I guess I did have a question concerning the – there's a note in here, the exposure to the high mercury concentrations in soils on 5A concerning the Carson River Mercury site, soils via incidental ingestion. And I was curious if there were going to be any levels associated with that or I guess the potential of breathing via dust from motorized use, from bicycle use, from running use, or any warning signs that would have to go with that.
Are you thinking, Toby, down along the river itself in some of those areas where we're
close?
Yeah,
predominantly along the river, along the Superfund site, just the areas of concern in general.
The U.S. Geological Survey break area down there?
Exactly, my lunch run.
I'm looking at Randy Paul to see if he wants to come up and address that question. That's mean of me to say that.
I think we should take, Toby's comment is important. The mercury is an issue, and we probably will end up doing some evaluation of the potential nature of that issue. We did with the aquatic park, the trailhead there. We had to address mercury at that point, and anything we do or anything we encourage people to do will have to be done carefully as it relates to the mercury.
Right, and in addition, every proposed project gets reviewed by the NDEP on behalf of EPA. And then what happens is that normally you enter into an agreement as to what is it that you're going to test and what is the methodology you're going to use. And at the end of that agreement, either you receive a permit or you do not, based on the level of on the potential for contamination.
Thank you, Juan. Lynn, could you put back up the Prison Hill Recreation Area slide? The comments we heard in public comment, the other one on the other side, on the west side, if you would. There, the purple area, that's part of the designated area for parks, which makes the comments that came in earlier about the runoff a parks problem, not an open space problem. No, actually, that is property that was under control of the city because of the water tank and some of the other activities. And it's all part of the acquisition, but it's got a separate designation. Doesn't change the issue of the problem, but I don't like to miss an opportunity for the participation of others here.
And also, I mentioned to the ladies privately, not in public, that the land has not been transferred yet to Carson City, but nevertheless that I will make sure that we contact Public Works and make sure we contact BLM.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate Juan following up on that. We have a number of issues that have arisen in the last couple of weeks with intense rainfalls, but we can certainly take advantage of the fact that we need to put some things back together to maybe make some improvements on how it's handled if we have another runoff like that. Okay, we will come back to the committee for any final comments, but I would like to ask members of the public for any comments, recommendations, thoughts, or ideas you might have with regard to the proposed plan, anything specific, anything general, please feel free to come up as you want and put your name up there announce your name so we can get you your information for the minutes, but please feel free to come forward and make any comments that you might have.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Nice to see some old friends. Lisa Huffman, for the record, and I'm here representing the Carson City Sheriff's Department for the Mounted Search and Rescue. So my interest tonight is in Silver Saddle Ranch, and I just thought of a few things from the open space earlier today, and then as you're talking tonight, I thought of just three or four points I would like to make, if you'll allow, and I will sign my name before I leave. The arena size. It sounds like from the notes that they're wanting to reduce the arena because there's a trail that needed to go or used to go through there. And when we train, which admittedly is once a year, it's not like we're there every month and there are other uses of that area. When we train, we can have 30, 35 upwards of that horses in the arena. So if we cut the size, I wouldn't want any head-ons and run-ins and catastrophes. I would just love to see the same size. Perhaps there's a way that the arena could be taken, if you cut the western area, that southwest area, which is sagebrush, maybe it could be elongated and made a little bigger that direction southeast. Just a suggestion. The other is firearms. I was having a discussion with one of the other audience members before the meeting started. There are firearms used. It is part of the training, and there are blanks that are shot. So I don't know what other, emergencies or catastrophes people are thinking that is going on. And I don't know the ins and outs of getting the permit for that, but that's an annual part of the training so that we fire off of horseback and the horses don't go ballistic. They're also used mostly by persons who are trained personnel in the sheriff's departments, Sparks, Carson City, et cetera, who know what they're doing and have routine training with that. Fireworks. We do that as part of the test on the Friday night. Come out and see it sometime. It's a blast, literally. We do take safety first. There's a fire truck on hand, the whole bit. And we've got horses and people in consideration for the safety. And then the training, I think, is valuable for the public safety. Not only are we search and rescue, so we can get to places where a quad or a police car couldn't, if that were needed, if that was the case. But also throughout the year, including street and highway safety, the 4th of July at Mills Park, so we're instrumental with that. You guys have probably all seen the mounted unit out. The Taste of Downtown, things like that for crowd control, so it's in the city's interest for public safety. Also, Carson City Public Image. Everybody loves to come up and pet the horses, so I appreciate your listening to my comments and taking consideration.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Any comments or questions for Lisa? Thanks. Further public comment?
Good evening, Mr. Chair, Commission. I have a few things I would like to discuss this evening. I would like to give this to staff so that they could follow along as we do this. I do have a few concerns regarding this management plan, however, not necessarily in the same vein as I usually complain. In regards to knowing what it is we're doing, in this management plan, I think there's perhaps some continuity gaps within the documents and the plan itself. If you'll take a look at page 1-1 in the management area overview, it says there that we have more than 5,300 acres that will be included in this management plan. If you move to page 1-2, table one, as my mathematics lead me to see that we have 5,399.5 acres to manage. Further on in Appendix B, in the programmatic agreement, that document seems to indicate that we have 5,941 acres to manage. As you can see where I'm going here, I'm wondering if we, do we perhaps know what it is we're trying to manage? As we move along, page 2-17 states there that the Silver State or Silver Saddle Ranch in 1997 started with 703 acres. From 2003 to 2006, we added 156 acres. That adds up to 860 acres rather than the 808.5 as indicated in Table 1 and in several other documents throughout this management plan. I'm wondering if we can have a clarification at this point on the acreage for the Silver Saddle Ranch. How much do we indeed have for the Silver Saddle Ranch?
The exact answer is on in the table on page 1-2. And in the narrative, we try to clarify all those various acres because of the different acquisitions. And then, so the original Silver Saddle Ranch of 703 acres mm-hmm. missed 51 acres that weren't transferred to us. So there is a lot okay. of math back and forth. And I think we address that for East Silver Saddle.
Okay. And then in Appendix A, page 8, in the baseline condition report for Prison Hill, Silver Saddle Ranch, and the Ambrose Natural Area, it shows that the Ambrose property has 265 acres in that particular document. But on Table 1 in page 1-2, it shows that that piece of property is 27.4 acres. Do we
Would you like me
that?
To clarify that as well?
Please.
So also on that same table on page 1-2, the conservation easement lands for mm-hmm. Ambrose is 265 acres. The one that you see below 27 acres is the parks side of Ambrose that okay. we acquired in 1997.
All right. Thank you. In Section 3, that's where we deal with the actual open space properties. There's seven properties, I believe. However, in Table 1 on 1-2 shows a different acreage than four of those properties, Golden Eagle, Mexican Dam, Anderson, Girard, and Vidler. I do recognize that there is a note at the bottom that some of the acreages may vary from document to document, but what I'm trying to point out here is we have some pretty substantial variations here, well beyond what I would consider something that was acceptable. Also, on page 2-6, the Carson River Floodplain and Riparian Corridor shows 70 acres. I don't find that property on Table 1. Is that property attached to another property somewhere else?
That isn't a specific property. It's a kind of a geomorphic description of the amount of floodplain okay. in those particular properties that it's attached to, but it's not separate.
Thank you. When we get to 7.1, it talks about division of responsibilities. In that section, we talk about 5,000 plus acres to manage. And it says that parks will manage 250 acres and open space will manage the 5,000. Well, that only accounts for 5,250 acres when apparently we're somewhere in the neighborhood of getting close to 6,000 acres, depending on which particular document that you read. So I'm just wondering, is that Where are we really at on the amount of acres that we're going to be managing?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
7.1, division of responsibilities, says that open space will manage 5,000 plus acres and that The Parks Department will manage 250 acres. That's only 5,250 acres when we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000, depending on which document you read. That's quite a difference in understanding what it is we need to try to do here.
I think that's something staff can look at, Morris.
Okay.
I don't think there's any intention to, to provide different numbers in different places. Some of it is going to be related to some of the footnotes, and some of that is probably related to the way some of the designations are interpreted. But we can certainly look at some of the comments you're bringing out and reconcile those differences so they're consistent.
Well, I certainly don't mean to seem like I'm indicating there's deception. I'm sure there isn't, but there is room for some confusion here based on these varying numbers that I think we need to get locked down a little closer than they are.
Comment from staff, Chair.
Roger, go ahead.
You brought up some good points, Morris, and we'll take a look at these. Some of it's in the nature of kind of rounding numbers when we say right. 5,300 acres plus rather than giving the exact acreage. And the chair is exactly right. It's not meant to try to misinform people of how many acres are really in there. Probably what really counts is when we get back to Section 1-2 where we really have the table and show mm-hmm. the acreage, that's where we really want to have it nailed down and be really specific. So we'll double-check that information you gave us and see where we can clean some of that up.
And I do agree. A rounding of numbers is perfectly appropriate, but we're somewhere between 5250 and 5941. Could be a little closer. Page 1-7, Table 2, Management and Guidance Documents, refers to a document there called Creating a Community Vision. That document was not in the support materials. I was not able to find that document on the city website, nor was I able to find that document on a general internet search. So I'm wondering, do we have access to that document? How come it wasn't included in the support material?
I guess briefly to answer that question, yes, it is online. If you go to the Parks and Recreation Department website, there's okay. a tab on the left page, maps, master plans, documents, reports, something along those lines, and it should be on that page.
Okay, thank you. What I was able to find was a document from Friends of the Silver Saddle Ranch indicating the team members that sat in on that charrette. And I looked at that list of team members, but I didn't find anybody from the OHV community. I'm wondering why nobody from the OHV community was included. That might be a little hard to answer at this point since it's from 2008. But I think it just goes back to my previous comments about OHV needing to be included.
You know, Morris, I was involved in that charrette, and I don't recall that there weren't OHV folks there. There were a lot of people in those hearings, and they were well publicized.
Right.
So I'm not sure if there was formal activity. The Friends of the Silver Saddle were a co-sponsor of that. They got the grant through the National Park Service, and so that's the reason they were named. But it was not in any way exclusive to that group or any other group. It was wide open to
okay.
the city.
Well, this document that I did find has quite a list of team members in it. I couldn't locate anybody with OHV background. page 2-1, line 5, refers to protecting scenic resources, including the preservation of dark skies. Can someone tell me what dark skies are?
Well, I'll try to take a stab at that. Dark skies is typically comes in the form of an ordinance that the city passed that tries to limit ambient light pollution into the atmosphere to protect the, I guess, viewshed of night skies. A lot of times that will include shielding lights rather than having unshielded lights. And that is a provision. I think, Juan, you probably know a little bit more about this than I do, but that's a provision of one of our ordinances, is it not?
That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Page 2-2, permitted uses. In the second paragraph, this section of the management plan is a verbatim from the conservation easement, section 5, page 3, except that you have left off the first part of the paragraph there, reading without limiting to the foregoing. I was just wondering why we might have left that off when the rest of that entire section is verbatim.
I don't know. We'll take a look at that.
Okay. Page 2-3, also under permitted uses, on your second paragraph there, the paragraph starts with, except for official use, and then ends when it gets to section 7, where there's a period. That particular sentence doesn't really seem to say anything. It's a pretty long sentence, but it doesn't get to the point. So I'm wondering, what is that all about?
Are you still on page 2-3?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all of this is just word for word from the conservation easement, which is a done signed document.
I understand that, but I'm looking for a clarification to what that first sentence is really all about. To me, it doesn't say anything.
I'd make a note of that. I think there's a point there that Morris is making.
I think you have a point. The sentence is unclear. Again, it is a sentence that comes directly from the conservation easement, which has already been adopted, through the process, including adoption by the Board of Supervisors. So I'm not sure if we can really go back and change it, but it is a little bit of a nonsensical sentence.
And second question regarding that, it is referring to Section 7. Is it proper to assume that Section 7 would be from this programmatic agreement?
No, it's from
further the next two sections.
I believe that's section. It's referring to Section 7 of the conservation easement.
Conservation easement, mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Page 2-10. Deer Run Road is referred to as a shared street facility. Can you explain what a shared street facility is, please?
Well, that is directly, I believe, from the Unified Pathways Master Plan. And we do have, Patrick, I hate to put you on the spot, but we have Patrick Pittenger, our transportation director back here, who the question is, can we define what a shared street facility is? Sorry about that, Patrick.
Patrick Pittenger, Transportation Manager, Carson City Public Works Department. Just to make sure the point of reference is related to bicycle facilities. Yes, generally speaking, a shared facility is one that that you'd expect, obviously, cars to be driving on, but also that bicycles would use as well. They don't necessarily have to have any, obviously not bike lanes, but not even like a share or something. It would just be expected that they have the width to accommodate both bicycles and cars simultaneously.
That'll teach you to show up at our meetings.
Page 3-2, location and access, mile 1 of the Brunswick Canyon Road. It says there that visitors may park, and then goes on and on and says, and then follow the road by alternative methods. Are you excluding full-size vehicles?
Well,
No, because it does say high-clearance four-wheel drive vehicles are recommended. And then the alternative means is OHV, hike, mountain bike, or horseback riding.
Well, that leads me to be curious why you would advise visitors to park and then continue by alternative methods.
Well, for vehicles who just have a car like I do.
Okay. Thank you. I wonder, in general, when was the last time staff or consultants that worked on this management plan has spoken to anybody in the OHV community?
It's been at least 2 hours, right?
Yeah, most recently at least 2 hours. And before that, Doug Peterson, when we discussed the Prison Hill area, and before that, general comments with not necessarily OHV community, with people that use recreation, and before and in between that and all of this, Terry Preston comes to each one of our meetings just about and reminds us about the need to keep the motorized community in our minds.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Horace. Other public comments? Speaking of Terry Preston.
Hi there.
Hey.
For the record, Terry Green Preston. And for those that read Carson Now, the Carson Now newspaper, I had to use my official name, which is Teresa Green Preston. Same. So I just want to put that out there. What I wanted to bring up is that there was, since I put that in the Carson Now as an opinion, there has been some question as to why I did it, and some people actually have questioned, is that true? And have basically put things off to the side. So what I'd like to reinstate, the part that is opinion but is based in fact, is that Silver Saddle Ranch is basically has its own rules that are part of the BLM transfer. However, some of the other acquisitions of open space aren't under those same rules. They don't have the different requirements. If you wanted to, you could have disc golf, you know, whatever. But where on Silver Saddle Ranch, you can't. Now, my concern, and as you know, I have two areas that really bother me, and that is the additional acquisition of Silver Saddle Ranch on the east side of the river, where we have the access to the river. Currently, there are roadways down there, and there has been some talk about closing that access to the river, and I am adamantly against this. Because people have the right to come down and picnic. They have the right to run their dogs. They have the right to access it on mile one of the aquatic trail, which is all part of that access. So that is one area I feel very strongly about. I don't agree that people should be, you know, cutting their own trails, but there is existing accessory roads that are there that should not be shut down. The other problem I have, and it's around Deer Run. Deer Run, in that time since it was there was the acquisition made of the SERPA property, and I'm talking about SERPA property, not Bentley. Bentley is the one that's cross-hatched. That was actually a conservation easement, and it does have restrictions. The SERPA property was a purchase that people continue to tell me that the VNT has an easement on. And that eventually it'd be closed because the VNT has an easement on it. Well, I've been in real estate for, gosh, a zillion years. And in that time, I've learned about easements. Easement says you have the right of way to go through. You don't have the right to encumber the whole piece. And that's where I have a problem. And right now, when you go around Deer Run Road, open space, public works, City of Carson, don't care what hat you're wearing. The thing is there are boulders that have been put in place. There's been Jersey barriers that have been put along Deer Run Road. And there have been gates installed. And on those, there wasn't a lot of comment with the public on shutting down the Ambrose Cottonwood Gallery. That's an area that my family did a lot of picnicking in. And to have the picnic tables removed from there, to have the access removed from there, to not allow parking except for across the road, and it's a dangerous road to cross, that to me is a problem. In addition to that is moving the staging area. There is no staging area. Let's make it very clear. There is no staging area that is on Deer Run Road that is not actually private land. The open space land is made for single vehicles to come in. There really is no place to bring in your trailers, your place for your OHV. Two open space meetings ago, when the representative from BLM was here, he was surprised that actually the OHV entrance had, the access road to what I call the cable route, which is the telephone lines, systems, and power systems, had been moved. And it was moved from the discussion with Juan had helped move that with the public works. What I'm asking for is I'm asking that there be a staging area on the upper side of Ambrose, not the area down in the nature reserve, not next to the river, not something that's going to go ahead any road, but something that is up on the other side of Prison Hill Road, on the other side of Deer Run Road, where you can access the cable route. And there'd be a space in there where people could bring in trailers, they could bring in their trucks, they could unload their motorcycles, they could take their OHVs. Right now what's happened is there's a new thing that started up, and it's something that bothers me too, and I'm part of the OHV community. But you can't get to Brunswick Canyon. There's a whole road that's being built, that is being traveled by OHVs and right parallel to the Deer Run Road. And that right there would stop if you were able to go ahead and give them access into the open space areas and into the BLM areas. But that has been restricted now with the Jersey barriers, with the change in the entrance, and with the lack of staging. So I think that definitely needs to be addressed. And I'm absolutely right. I was not blowing smoke when I said that there is an intention. It might not happen tomorrow, might not happen 5 years from now, might not happen 10 years from now. But the intention, which I was very surprised when I was a member of Open Space, was that we spent Open Space money on Brunswick Canyon, where we've been able to access it, even as a private road, on accessory roads and as prescribed easements. We've been running that road for 50-odd years. To be told that it's going to be shut down for the VNT. So I was not making it up or embellishing when I'm saying in a couple of years, the only way you can get in there is to walk, bike, buy a ticket on the VNT, have a horse. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to access it. And that is sad. That is really, really sad. And some people have said, I invite anyone that on the Carson.org site are a list of every one of the agendas, every one of the minutes of every open space meeting. And I invite people to actually read that and see what's happening and what's going on. If they're really concerned about it, they need to know. And a lot of people have not taken the time to hear what's going on. They haven't taken the time to actually see what's going on. And when things are shut down, they're going to all be surprised. And I think that's my biggest concern. In addition, Golden Eagle. I think Golden Eagle is a wonderful acquisition that you've done. Golden Eagle is an area that it went through a neighborhood, but at the same point is if the neighbors wanted to buy it, they should have. And I have kind of that type of an attitude. I think there should be parking there. I think there should be fishing there. And I think that there should also be some kind of a portage. And if you can't do a portage in that area, then make a deal with the state on the other side of Mexican Dam, where the state has their property, to do a portage. Because right now we have a wonderful opportunity. We have an aquatic trail, but we have a lot of people that are not experienced that are going down the Deer Run. And a friend of mine from high school thought she could take her kayak down there, and unfortunately was rescued out of a train wreck. She went down there by herself because there's not enough information out there to let people know that it is a very dangerous river and that there are only certain type of watercraft should go down there, and you should not be doing it by yourself. But we've got a wonderful place if you were able to put in a cradle bow, come back down through. It'd be a nice float. It wouldn't be dangerous. You could bring your families in there, and being able to portage around Mexican Dam would be a big plus. So that's what I have to say today. So,
Terry, don't go away. I really appreciate your comments, but I'd like to follow up in a couple of areas.
Okay.
The map here at the on the wall is the upper end of the Ambrose area, and if
right.
you look at the upper right-hand corner, the staging area that you're talking about, I think, is technically on BLM ground.
There is no staging area.
Well, yeah. There's a place where people go pull up above, you know, where the re-signing of that, where the BLM access is signed now off of Deer Run Road, takes you into that BLM land, and there's nothing organized, but you see a number of, you'll see a couple vehicles once in a while, a trailer in there, but that is an area that we've at least informally discussed could be a really nice trailhead area to be able to get to the power line, which you can see a little bit further up, and to prevent forcing people to come down off the slope onto Deer Run Road, which is what the Jersey barriers and the rocks are trying to do, and of course they just get viewed as an obstacle to be overcome. Mm-hmm. And we really need some management and some definition up there. And I think you make a good point. Even though that's not open space property, or when we acquire Ambrose will not be open space property even then, I think we would very much like to work with BLM to create that access, because they are going to have OHV access in their areas, and we want to do everything we can to help make that possible in a way that doesn't adversely affect open space and yet serves a very clear need for the OHV users.
Well, and I think something else, though, too, Bruce, is that if you made a large enough staging area, it can be used for horse trailers that are wanting to get into the
It's everybody country. Getting to the there, BLM going east.
There's all the different bicycles and so forth that need to go in there. Oh, and I've got to talk.
We wouldn't allow the OHV people to have it by themselves.
Well, good. Just as we don't want some of these other trails to exclude the OHV people. I mean, that's exactly where we're at on it. On another note, I do want to talk about something else, too, is Ash Canyon. Ash Canyon right now, the access is wonderful. The grading has been helpful, so thank you very much. Toby and Mr. Potter's trail is wonderful. I hope they open it soon. The reason is that one of the problems I'm seeing right now, and I'd like to address the mountain bike community, please, is stop making new trails every 20 feet all over that hill. Because we are running into all sorts of new single-track trails all through up around the back of Timberline, on up through, on to the other side, down on the upper part of where Jost is, into the state lands. I mean, if you're going to have a single track, use the single track. It's not necessary to build your own every darn time. So that's my other concern. Okay?
Thank you. One more thing before you go away. You mentioned the east part of Silver Saddle and the access to the river. Mm-hmm. There is mention regarding management of that access to the river off of Sierra Vista Way. I think it's Sierra Vista Way. Mm-hmm. But you were expressing concern that there's tracks down there now. Mm-hmm. How would you react to a more organized ability to get in? In other words, manage, if you will, some of those access points so that people did have access, but you tried to manage and create an area where people could get down to the river in their cars or in their vehicles, but not necessarily as random as it is now. In other words, managed access, but still allow access.
I think one of the things is you're going to have to work with the tribe on the one parcel that's right in the middle of it. But then around the other area, as far as building a large loop that basically came down and went all the way around and can loop back on Sierra, and then just with little fingers down to the different beaches, I think that would be definitely workable. It's not necessary to have, you know, drives from all down Sierra View. What's it called now? I should call it Lloyd's Bridge Road. Yeah. I mean, this other thing is just bizarre. Well,
there's mention in the document regarding the possibility of having some managed access there, and that might be something that you'd want to keep an eye out as we go forward, because there may be a way to accommodate some of those concerns and yet protect a very sensitive river area.
Okay, and then like you said, is that there are some areas right now that a lot of people use. A lot of people right now, if you go up to the shooting range, I realize that we have designated shooting ranges. They usually are filled with some people putting in some pretty weird guns. But taking your kid out to go ahead and teach him how to just shoot and to be familiar with a firearm, there's a lot of people that do it out in the mill area, and they do it right there into that big sand wall. Can you give some other alternative for families that don't want to be out there with some of these other things that are on the shooting range, which are, like you said, pretty scary stuff? So
that's definitely an area that we've had some input on. Shooting is a tough one because of the nature of carrying, you know, the distance that some of those errant shots might carry. An area that, you know, perhaps with BLM, a more remote location might be useful for a little less organized and maybe a little less military type approach than you get at the shooting range. I understand.
That would be very much appreciated. And the being able to go down to those different river areas where people go down along Brunswick, where they've been going for years, where the beaches are and the trees, and then occasionally they were able, when the river's high enough, you can actually put in a tree swing. I mean, these are fun. So, you know, I'd like to see some of those remain. So, okay.
Thank you.
Can I make some comments?
Sure.
Terry, I kind of have a question for you. Sure. You referred, and Bruce, you really covered, I think, very well the idea about managing vehicle use down by the river on the east side of the river on Silver Saddle Ranch. But I just wanted to read that recommendation out of the report and kind of get your opinion on it. Now, keep in mind that it's meant to be general because there aren't plans at this point developed. So this is on page 2-2. One of the recommendations, or 220, one of the recommendations says, near the river, designate the parking area and maintain barriers to prohibit vehicle access into non-motorized use areas, the riparian corridor, floodplain, and other sensitive areas. So the way I interpreted that was it's not to preclude vehicles, motorized vehicles from that area, but really kind of manage it, develop a parking area so that people aren't driving right down to the bank of the river or into the river or into some of those sensitive areas in the riparian zone. Is do you have a problem with that statement, or do you think that is clear enough?
I think one thing is that a good example is Santa Maria Ranch. Santa Maria Ranch has actually used the split rail fence as a deterrent, and I think that is better than boulders because it's a fence. People don't have the tendency to run over fences. They like the challenge of the boulders. I've seen a lot of people here like to move boulders. I don't know why. It's pretty weird. But if you were able to put in that fence, but one thing that I would really ask down in that particular area, because that was actually met on the aquatic trail, that is mile zero. There is no way to carry one of those big rafts through the sand in that area where the parking is now. And we've also discussed this. The one thing I found that Tricia said is that you were looking at additional staff. I hope it's actually patrols. I hope instead of office staff, I hope it's actually people out there in the field patrolling these sites. Because one thing I've noticed that's really funny in Carson and I find kind of interesting is that the parks and recreation and the open space is actually done by a ranger. That should be done by the police, and I think that's something that really should be put out here, is that we have a large police force that has the ability to ride motorcycles, they have ATVs, they have horses, they have all these different things, and why aren't they being utilized in these open spaces? That's something else that I think, instead of one park ranger and a little white Bronco. So
in other words, you're not opposed to restricting vehicles into the sensitive areas along the river as long as we have managed parking.
As long as you have managed parking, as long as people can get down there to the areas, that it's not restricted, that the only way that you can get in there is to walk or be on a mountain bike or to be on a horse. I mean, that's where it gets old. I'm concerned about the people that are getting older, that are non-ambulatory. If you maintain these roads, they can drive their cars, and you could drive your car down there. You know, that's what I would like to see.
No, very good. I just wanted to make sure that we're clear that you're not opposed to, you're not under the assumption that this report is trying to keep vehicles out of that area. It's really just manage the areas that they're allowed
in. It's to manage the areas. And the thing is, though, too, is to keep the riffraff out. I understand, you know, we don't want to have a bunch of homeless camping and that type of thing. But at the same point is people have the right to come use the river.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. We appreciate your comments. And
thank you.
And we do struggle to get input from OHV and from vehicle users, and so thank you.
And I have to tell you, too, is I do, too. I am so frustrated, I'll tell you. I have contacted the Angel Four-Wheel Drive Group. I've contacted Blue Ribbon. I have contacted Sierra Stompers. I have contacted, Pine Nut. And I hope that there are people out here in their audience that represent them. I sincerely do. So, thank you. Great.
Thanks for your input.
Terry, before you leave, I have a question for you. Just some clarification. When you talk about Brunswick Canyon, are you talking about Brunswick Canyon proper that has the?
I'm talking about the full about? Flat, little, the light blue that has no hash marks.
So Carson River Canyon.
Carson River Canyon.
So when you say you want access in there, are you talking about the north side or the south side or both sides?
The thing is you have to understand, Lynn, I came from growing up here, and that bridge used to be operable.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had access on both sides.
Yeah.
We had access on both sides, and then now you could still access the south side from the cable route. You can go here that way, or you can come back Sedge Road and go back this other way. You can do that, but most people don't even know how to get there. And a lot of them are kind of afraid, you know, what's all back there and, you know, how to go around. Now, and then there's so many signs up anymore. There's so many signs and so many closures and things that it's really disconcerting. Now, on the north side, I feel you should be able to go all the way out there, where we've always been able to go. And I realize that the purchase agreement or the transfer agreement for the conservation in the hatched area will not allow that because that was actually a condition put down by Mr. Bentley. But surface property doesn't have those restrictions. So that's.
Okay, my turn, Terry. Okay, yeah, so on the map, and we do listen to your concerns. And so one of the things that we added to this map, on this one you can see the future access route. There's one little yellow dot on this map. Our documents have one more further to the north. And so far with the VNT, as you mentioned, the VNT, one day will be built, but at this point we have two approved access routes across the track, and so those will be open. Those are on paper, but we can still have future conversations. So we do listen, we do recognize what can we do still to bring the public to these areas, because it's beautiful in there, and to lose that opportunity, I think for everyone. It's sad, and so we are listening to you. We are looking at those opportunities.
Okay. In fact, we've come to understand that the VNT Railroad may consider some additional access points into the canyon too, in addition to just these two that are listed. So we're continuing to have conversations with them.
Okay. Well, the thing is I think they're going to need to provide the caterers that they want to have down there for their parties. So let's get real about that. I mean, that's something that you know, has been put out there is that the railroad, if it only makes it so far, they're going to put the balloon in there, and then they wanted to have, you know, be the ability to bring in singers and caterers and things like that. So, yeah, I can see why they'd want to head and support that. But do they want my ATV to be running through there while they're singing about the starry skies above? Don't think so. So let's figure out what's really going to be going on there and what this really is. If it's an access to get caterers in, I've got an issue. If it's an access to get OHV people through the canyon into the areas that they want to be in, that's fine. But
it's intended to be public access.
Okay. And then here's a statement for the city supervisors. I would like to see some transparency and some more open on these darn V&T meetings, because we're not seeing anything on what's going on with V&T. They used to be public, they used to be on the on the little TV station. You used to find out what's going on. We don't know that anymore. And I'd like to have the city supervisors start making that a little bit more transparent, start showing those back up on the public television. So, okay?
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
And please note that the Open Space Committee has not endorsed caterers in the Carson River Canyon.
No, but you know, when I was here, when Dwight Millard decided that, yeah, that would be great. So, you know, that's what I remember. So,
okay.
Thanks.
Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Steve Hartman. I want to try and get elevated to about 50,000 feet instead of trying to be to edit your copy and deal with minutia, which those plans are not about. I came down here to remind you all of the genesis of this effort, and that relates to the fact that the open space is but one of the things that this bond issue is about. And the bond issue was an act of the people. And there have been times in the past when there have been efforts to raid open space funds. And I know that you will continue your resistance of that. Because I guarantee you, as long as I am still ambulatory, I will be there to do so. But part and parcel of that is the division of monies that go on. And some of the foresight, I think, that we had at the time we went down this road. And that was in part that we had a chunk of money set aside for management. And as I think all of us realize and understand, we are pretty much right in the middle of that phase in that transition to the management side. But I don't think that means that we're completely done in acquisition. So I would caution that you not, in your Section 7, spend all your money in engaging ongoing costs, soft costs. A lot of the things that you've talked about tonight are that fuzzy line that we discussed for many years with the supervisors, with Park and Rec, and Open Space. What is an open space expense, and what is a active recreation park and rec expense? It often, as we all know, is very fuzzy. And from the community's perspective, it's their money. And they want to make sure that there is a division, and as long as you embark on an effort that is reasonable in making the fuzzy line as bright as you can make it, I think they'll accept that. Master plans are very organic, moving, changing, ever-changing documents. That's what they're intended to be. These aren't plans. Plans will come. And this body has done a very remarkable job for a long time. And the community, I think, is very fortunate to have the effort that all of you put in. And I know what that is. But we've also had a lot of volunteers. A couple of them, my favorite is right over there in that corner, who has done absolutely incredible things on the mountain. And as one who walks up that mountain every morning on those single track trails, I guess I would differ with Terry. There's not a lot of new trails being cut, particularly by the folks who truly use that for mountain biking. There are some other folks who have been in there and torn up some country, but it hasn't been the mountain bike guys. But I think a lot of what you've heard tonight, you understand what I think maybe the community doesn't understand, and clearly some members don't understand, is that there is an incredible fabric in this community of interrelated plans, of actions, regulations, ordinances, programmatic agreements, easements, conservation easements, interlocal agreements that have to be taken into account when you manage this open space. That cannot be done by volunteers. As much as I love Jeff and all they have done, and it is absolutely truly incredible what they've done, we need, and I'm telling you this because you have another item on your agenda, I'm going to go home and have dinner. But you need to have someone, and whether it's Juwan or someone like Juwan who speaks English, we need that comprehensive kind of bringing all the pieces together. You ask this staff to do an awful lot, and this staff has done, I think, an awful lot over the years, and we've beat them into submission multiple times in the past. But they do a great job, and they're very committed. But we need a staff, but we don't need an exploding staff, because I think there's a point at which a lot of our open space is going to stay passive. And so we need to keep noxious weeds out and do some, you know, kind of big picture stuff, but we don't need to micromanage that stuff. We purposefully did not take title on some properties by using conservation easements so we could keep it in private hands, so we could have that property maintained with certain conditions, and they're in there about noxious weeds and the like. So anyway, I think you're doing a great job. I'm not here to complain about anything. So I do applaud you on your effort. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up, and I'm going to dinner. So. Good job.
Thank you, Steve. And thank you for your efforts in helping shape open space for quite a number of years. Appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Mike Turner, and I've been a resident of Mexican Dam out there for 22 years, back when that road was all dirt. We had a typical fight with the city to show them that they really did own most of that road down to the dam. So I've seen a lot of changes out there, and I really appreciate this document you put together. It addresses a lot of things. We're big users of the Silver Saddle Ranch. We obviously care about the community. We built out there when no one else. We were the third house out there. So we really appreciate this. This addresses a lot of things. Sure, some of you have been out there since the last flash floods, and we really want to thank the Roads Department for getting us the roads cleared. But that underscores some of the big problems we've got with erosion from the vehicles between off-road use, between the power line and Sierra Vista Road. You know, that most of the people, maybe half, use the parking there and then go up that road. But a number of them, every arroyo out there has tracks up it. Those arroyos are now deeply incised from between the power line and the road down there because of uncontrolled aspects. Additionally, the biggest eyesore in this city is out there right by Lloyd's Bridge where the sledding hill, which is a great idea, but has turned into a mud bog competition there. And that's city land. And, you know, and the initial work 10 years ago, I think Tetra Tech did that work. The boulders got moved. The vehicles moved through there. Nothing's been done with that area in there. And I don't know if you can address that, but, you know, it's already filled up with silt. And if you look at all the roads above it, those are now 3 foot deep. So I don't know, you know, I looked at my tax bill the other day. I said, oh, what's the subconservancy money we pay out every year that we see no benefit from? Can some of that money be used to benefit the river and the silt that goes into the river by putting gabions and fencing critical areas there, keeping the traffic where the existing off-road vehicle parking is and the road up, fence that corridor so people, I mean, even use, you know, pine fencing if you wish, but keep people on that corridor up to the and away from all the hills. It's been, if you go back and look at all the photos from the last 20 years, you can just see the impact of the roads there. It's just been intense, particularly since the BLM bought the ranch. I'm sorry, but that was the worst thing to ever happen to that thing. I wish it had gone straight to the city or to the state parks because it would have been managed a hell of a lot better than the BLM has done in that area there, and it's just been a mess. So, unfortunately, open space has to clean up the BLM's mess, but I think based on what I saw in the report and the draft agreement here, it looks really great. But I don't know if those funds are available through subconservancy. We sure, as property owners out there, we sure pay a lot of money into that. And it directly impacts the river. That right now that river is so full of silt from this last flood. And I really encourage, as a little road trip out there for you guys, to see what's happened to the road. The road department's got a lot of issues going on, undersized culverts on that entire stretch, and they're going to have to go out and clean out all the silt behind those right now. And now might be a good time to just upsize the culverts and then handle the upstream debris coming in. But otherwise, the other issue that really, the camping on the east side, I mean, it's in the summertime, it's at least once a week when we're calling in fires, when there's restricted issues out there, and we really don't want to end up burnt out there. So the camping, we really, you know, between the partying and people out there sleeping out there right now as is and the dumping of bodies out there, really the idea of organized parking like it used to be. I mean, there were boulders out there and people, there was a parking area and signage, and that's all gone now. And people are just driving into the river, along the river, along all the riparian areas there. And so, yes, we need parking down there organized and contain people so that the crap doesn't end up in the river from all the beer bottles and things. But it's a great place to go and enjoy. It's just we need organized parking, and the BLM hasn't been up to the issue. I mean, we won't go into them. It's a new chapter here with open space, and we sure appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Some good thoughts there. Yes, Ann?
I will go ahead and address one of those questions. Yes, the Carson Water Subconservancy Funds, I believe, would be available in that area, and we will go ahead and take a look at that.
And I don't know if any 319 water quality grants might be available for that kind of thing, but it's a possibility as well. Other public comment? Come on up.
Hi, my name is Aaron Litz, a longtime resident area. I like the fact that you guys have balanced out the use pretty well, I think, with all the areas that you have. I just had a couple issues. On the one map that we were looking at for the Prison Hill area, there's a lot of trails in that area, obviously. And I wanted to make sure that they were being maintained for OHV use, even though they're not marked on the map. You know, normally, when we do maps with BLM and stuff, they want that it actually is outlined and marked and to be clearly for OHV. I understand that the line is up the hill pretty far and everything below that is OHV, but I would just request maybe that it is denoted somewhere. There's a similar issue, I guess, in the area that we talked about earlier, the Carson River Canyon, where the VNT is going to be. I would be concerned a little bit about that area if VNT goes in there, that they restrict too much area. Now, normally, when you deal with a train and an easement for a train, it doesn't restrict the whole area. It restricts a certain distance on the other side of the tracks, and there are crossings, but the area still along the tracks is provided for access because it still is public area. And then the only other issue I really had was in one of the papers that was in the hallway said that they would want to be able to maintain the right to restrict OHV access during high and extremely high danger area times for fire. To me, that sounds a little bit like a backdoor way of restricting OHV access because you're not saying whose version of high danger it is or what criterion would be used for that decision. Already in Carson City, you're supposed to carry water. when you're off-road. And I know that I do, and I carry one of the big fire extinguishers that are used for compressed air. We are all concerned with fire as much as anyone else is, and I bring a shovel and water with me wherever I go for that reason. So I would question if that exception is necessary when we're already required to be prepared for fire. And that was all I had.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments, Aaron. I think, you know, I don't envision open space setting new criteria for fire. I mean, we would probably defer to State Forester and the BLM when they designate, or the Forest Service. Certainly that's not a left-handed way to try to regulate OHV use. In the Prison Hill area, we haven't designated specific trails, but we have maintained the southern third to half of the Prison Hill area as OHV area, and there's no intention to change that other than to provide better signage and probably a better delineation of the boundary of that area. But thank you. And please continue to interface with staff or provide comments. We want to get a good balance of the comments and the inputs. We realize that OHV use is a sensitive area, and we want to try to find a balance within the range of the properties that we have ownership or control over, and at the same time the resources that they represent. And responsible OHV use, I think, is the best possible way to maximize the availability for the future. And because it tends to be dissimilar, not necessarily well organized, but people who care and who carry water and who watch, you know, their impact are going to make a big difference in the long run. So thank you very much. Other public comments? Okay. Back to the committee. One last round of comments before we move on to the next agenda item. Start with Toby this time. Anything more, Toby?
I didn't get to say it earlier, but I'd like to thank Terry for the social trails comment. You're absolutely right. West side, east side, north side, south side, please stay on the trails.
All right, any comments? Okay. Howard? Margie? Donna?
I would like to make one comment. You know, I appreciate Terry's attempts to get the OHV community more involved in this. And as a hiker, I would like to say that for years, I've been told by many, many people that when I go into the Carson River Canyon hiking, I must be out of my mind, that it's dangerous, that there's nothing but drunken parties going on there, and people will run me down. And I have been chased down by motorized vehicles. I've also had shots go over my head. So I would really welcome the OHV community's help in opening that up and dispelling that myth that the canyon has been taken over by OHV people that are rowdy and it's dangerous for non-motorized people to go in there at all, so that it truly becomes an area for all of the community. And if you guys could get yourself organized and work with us, that would be wonderful.
Thank you, Donna. Sure.
Terry Preston again. I think one thing is that the responsible OHV users, the ones that have motorcycles, ATVs, and so forth, they want to get their kids involved. And they are just like you. They don't want to have the riffraff in the canyon. But one thing happens is when you put a bunch of people out there with OHV that are concerned about that canyon, they're carrying water, they're looking at all these different things, that is your eyes and ears in the canyon. Those are the people that go out there and make sure that there's no dead bodies or there's things like this around there. I mean, you've got to bring people out there. It's got to be open back for families. But because there's been so many restrictions, people don't know that they can go out there. And I think one thing is they'll be good neighbors. So,
Thank you, Terry. Okay. Any final comments? All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate everyone's input and also your inputs to our earlier session in the Bonanza Room. Committee, should we go ahead and finish the agenda, or do you want to take a break? All right. Is that okay to go? All right. We'll get her done. Next item, possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors filling the soon-to-be-vacant position of the Open Space Administrator. Roger.
Well, I wish I could call Steve Hartman back here from dinner because I thought he was very eloquent in addressing this issue. And if it pleases the committee, I'd like to just read my staff report because I think it hits all the points, and I think if I try to freelance it, I may miss some of these points. So it's about 2 pages long, but I think we get through it rather quickly. So I'll start with reading the staff report. Juan Guzman is retiring after serving as the city's first and only open space administrator. Mr. Guzman's last working day is September 4th, 2014. And by the way, this is his last meeting in front of this committee. And I think he's appreciative of that, too. Mr. Guzman did an admirable job supervising the open space program for the past 14 and a half years. And was very successful along with the Open Space Advisory Committee in establishing the program and acquiring the properties that make up the open space system. The hard work of Mr. Guzman in the committee has resulted in creating the most advanced open space program in the state. And I really think this is a program that, you know, all of us should be very proud of it. This is a program that the citizens of the city can be proud of. See, when I freelance, I end up repeating myself, so I'm sorry about that. The open space program is going to provide many benefits to the residents of Carson City far into the future. One of the most significant achievements during this time was the passage of the Omnibus Public Lands Management Act of 2009, otherwise known as the Carson City Lands Bill. With the retirement of Mr. Guzman, along with the direction given to staff and the committee by the Board of Supervisors to de-emphasize acquisitions and to emphasize and place priority on the management of lands required, the program is moving into a new era. This new era will focus on the management of the land and its natural resources, as well as address potential recreation opportunities, demands, and special events. The open space administrator position will require different skill sets than in the past. This position will require a strong background in education and experience in natural resources management. In many ways, the new era will be just as challenging as the former era. In addition to the possible needs for some land transactions and acquisitions, and the management of natural resources and recreation, the new administrator will still have to actively supervise staff and volunteers and coordinate and interface with a myriad of federal, state, local agencies, as well as nonprofit organizations. The new administrator will have to employ sophisticated management techniques that will balance the protection of diverse resources from montane forest and Great Basin sagebrush plant communities to riparian ecosystems with an increasing demand for its use. This balance will need to be achieved while working within the confines of the various deed restrictions, programmatic agreements, master plans, and grant restrictions. This will require an administrator that has a strong base in the biological sciences as well as social sciences and possess strong communication skills. The new administrator will have to be adept at carrying out direction provided by the Open Space Advisory Committee as well as the Board of Supervisors. The new administrator will also have to be skilled in seeking, writing, and administering grants. A working knowledge and experience in working with grants such as the Land Water Conservation Program, Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act, Recreational Trails, Forest Legacy, and the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection and the Natural Resources Conservation Service will be critical. There has been some sentiment expressed that this position could be left vacant and that the task of this position could be performed by volunteers or could be shared by a lesser position and possibly the Parks and Recreation Director. Staff firmly believes that employing either of these two options would be insufficient and a mistake that over the long run would be detrimental to the program. Staff believes it is essential to have a position that is dedicated to the administration and management of the open space program that will soon approximate 7,000 acres. Staff feels that it will be essential to increase our involvement with and to partner with nonprofits and volunteers such as Muscle Powered and Friends of the Silver Saddle Ranch to achieve our goals, but that it is critical that a professional oversee the management of the program. Staff is requesting that the committee recommend to that the Open Space Administrator position be filled upon the retirement of Mr. Guzman. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for Roger regarding his recommendation? Okay, Howard, go ahead with your question. We'll let you speak.
Roger, right now Parks and Recreation has somebody who manages a work plan for the management of the park space. I really think it's essential that this position, too, is more resource-orientated and a full-time position, too, and that is skilled in putting together work plans, or would that be somebody else who might be doing that in Carson City? And also a capital improvement plan for open space. So I really see this as a hands-on, let's get a work program, both maintenance and operations, as well as a capital improvements program that we can start putting some dollar figures to and getting resources put into the open space to take care of these things that we heard tonight from the public on erosion into the river and things like that. That would be my...
I guess just maybe to follow up on your comment or your question, you're absolutely correct. One of the primary duties of the Open Space Administrator would be to manage the budget for that program, which would include not only your operation and maintenance budget, but would also include capital budget as well. And the other primary duty or task of this individual would be to help and lead the direction of setting out a work program, probably working closely with a natural resources specialist. But I think today it's pretty evident, I mean, tonight I think it was pretty evident of all the challenges that we're facing here in the future, everything from, you know, the demands of recreation, everything from OHV use to non-motorized use, and the protection of the resources that's been so well pointed out tonight.
Thank you, Roger. Donna, did you want to make a statement?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Carson City, we've invested a very lot of money from Carson City residents in purchasing these lands. If we in any way shortchange our management of these lands, we will definitely not be doing a service to the members of this community who have put their good money and their faith in us to not only acquire but to manage these lands. It would be similar to somebody buying a very expensive apartment complex and then saying to the tenants, no, we expect you to voluntarily take care of it. We could wind up becoming slumlords in a sense if we weren't very careful. I think it's absolutely vital that we have somebody, a strong person in this position to manage these lands. It's a horrendous task. I would not even want it.
Any other comments at this point from the committee? Okay, we'll open it up to public comment. Morris.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Yes, indeed, I agree with staff that it is essential to increase our involvement with and to partner with nonprofits and volunteers such as Muscle Powered and Friends of the Silver Saddle Ranch to achieve our goals. Would it be possible to include in this that we also work with the OHV community? As difficult as that is, I understand, I think it's very important. The more we make them feel included, the more they will include themselves.
That's great.
Thank you.
Just get us a name. Mark.
Yeah. Good evening. What a great meeting this is. And we got the plan finally to look at the whole thing. So after I heard this...
excuse me, sir. Could yes, you sir. Please Mark state Kendall, your name?
For the record.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. After somebody notified me that there was somebody in the community was looking at a nonprofit to maybe possibly fill Juan's mission, I had to immediately go on heart rate medicine and Tums because that just like really bummed me out. It was like, and I, the person in the audience sitting behind me tonight, Mr. McKenna, and I had just had a short discussion a while ago about this, and I felt actually been a professional for 40 years now in the nonprofit field and public resource management at county level and state level, and been involved with at least four major nonprofits, and was in a building full of nonprofits up at Parasol, was chair of that for a couple of years, and have been seriously involved with both sides of that. And to me, I felt it was kind of a pushback on the whole profession of natural resource management, that it, somebody else could manage that and when you could have a professional in place. And not to say a nonprofit can't, but here's the nonprofit side, and I talked to John about this, actually. They have to have a champion in the agencies. The only way the Tahoe Rim Trail ever survived is that the Forest Service had people there to support it, and State Parks was there to support it. You have to have the agency support for the nonprofits. Even sometimes it's office space, it's paper, it's mail, it's support, it's going to their meetings. It has to be, you have to have that position in place for the nonprofits. So I talked to John a bunch about that. This in recreation, you can have nonprofits. These are the types of passions that people have, and bike riders and tree people and horse people, and all these people all have their nonprofits. I think it's a requirement that a new person has to own an OHV before they can have that position, which I own an OHV, which I tell everybody I won for $100, a $7,500 OHV that I play in up in the behind the Mexican Dam up there, actually. But there was a disconnect there with that approach, and I feel very strongly about that his position is critical to this, and that you've got to hire a person that has nonprofit experience. Ask Juan how many meetings he went to at night on his own time. You have to have a gregarious person that's engaged with the community and understands that nonprofits don't have clocks. They're working at night, after work, before work, and that's when you have to go meet with them. You can't meet with them between 8 and 5 most of the time because they're out working for a living a lot of times. So I learned this at the Parasol building working with a lot of nonprofits. Collaboration creates conflict, and that you need to know that right up front, because all these groups are going to be after Juan's position to have these things done for them. And that creates conflict. So that person has to be strong in how to resolve these conflicts, work with all these nonprofits, and hopefully get something at the end that at least win-win or kind of a combination of that when you're done with all that. So I think this board's not concerned as much about voting for a nonprofit or in it, but I want to give you more for the reason that to me it's just a terrible option. When there's so many people out there that are so qualified for Juan's position that can put this all together for you and use these nonprofits. And the nonprofits are good for the state and the cities, I should say just the city, because they can go after grants that you can't. They can go after funds that you can't. You can work and put all these programs together, and like the Rim Trail, we gathered more than $5 million for the Forest Service. And we kept having to remind them of that. We did this for you. When they say no to some of the things we want, but that's the conflict part. So they have you as a partner, but they don't want to see you in your office bugging them all the time, but that's just part of what you get to do. So, Juan has been expert at doing all that. And I couldn't begin to probably count the hundreds and hundreds of hours he's put into. And I speak from that from experience. It was always the overtime or days off or things get goofed up to work these collaborations out all the time. It works that way. And it's amazing in recreation at the state level where I worked for years. From state government, I think I figured out if somebody complained in the park, if you handed them a nickel back, that's what you gave, take your nickel and leave, you know, because all these complaints they got. Because if I'm your taxpayer, I own you to do this. But it's amazing how much fight is over that nickel from the public because they love and they're passionate about their outdoor recreational experiences. So it's really important that when this bond, and that's... when Mr. Hartman talked there for a few minutes, I was bummed out. He took some of my thunder away there from me because he was right on. the voters, and like Donna said, the voters voted for these open space lands, and there's a strong expectation for stewardship. And the only time that stewardship comes into play if there's something that hits them personally, some bad day on it with an OHV or a bad day with dogs. I was up at the waterfall trail I've been working on, and first I saw two dogs go up with this one group of kids. You'd be amazed how many kids go up there in families now. And they had a pit bull and some other dog, unawfully. So then the next I see, there comes a wiener dog and a little yippy dog. So they're going. So I told them, well, there's some dogs up there off leash. So they go up there. So then a few more minutes later, there's three more dogs, a bulldog and a couple others. It's all at one time at the waterfall. And it blew up. Blew up. And it wasn't, everybody thought it was a pit bull. It was one of those little yippy dogs that thought that he was a pit bull, and he went to go yip at the pit bull. So it sounded like the pit bull was eating this little dog, but it wasn't. It was just yipping at him. So I had a AmeriCorps with me, and they're diving in the rocks, grabbing dogs and kids and people. So guess where they were? I figured they'd be Monday morning. They'd be down calling Juan, saying, hey, what's up with all this? And that's when they show up at your doors, when you're stepping on something that's part of their experience out there. You have to have somebody in place. And Roger already runs a shop, one of the best parks and rec in the state, and he can't carry two loads. It's just way beyond any expectation you should put on him. And Ann does an excellent job of the resource side, which is a critical part of it. So I think I'm done. I did want to give one other example that in Recreation Now, I'm working on another committee with BLM right now on the Black Rock Desert, which is in the headlines for Burning Man right now. But they have, the only success story they have is they have all these collaborations with all these groups, Friends of Black Rock, Nevada Wilderness. So all the agencies have these nonprofits lined up, and we meet like twice a year. And a lot of the work being done on the BLM land is because of these nonprofits. But they need BLM and a staff person to work all this out with them. So they actually have a person just for that. So I think that's enough to talk to that, and I don't hope that you wouldn't vote against it. But I told Mr. McKenna that I would speak to this to the Board of Supervisors level two. So I appreciate your time. And great plan. Thanks, Juan. You'll be missed, Juan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Further public comment? John.
John McKenna, for the record. It's difficult to keep a low profile with Mr. Kimbrough around. First off, this is not about Juan. This has nothing to do with Juan. There was no Juan. You hired Juan. You had success with Juan. And now you're at a point. You need to think about where you want to go. Do you want to continue the way you're doing and hope you can recreate Juan or find a better Juan? That's fine. Think about it. That's all I've ever asked is you think about that. Should the city hire someone to do Juan's job? You can't hire somebody to do Juan's job. The job changed. When Juan leaves, the job changed. What do you want this job to look like? That's all I'm asking. If you want to have a city employee do it with all the city benefits, that's fine. If you want to have a nonprofit group of citizens out there running their open space, that's fine too. Think about it. That's all I ask. Questions?
Any questions, John?
By the way, let me just say one thing. I don't like, as a supervisor, to show up at your meetings and talk. These are citizen meetings. We're here for the citizens to run their government. But I will answer any questions if you have any.
Any questions for John?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And we do appreciate seeing you and hearing your opinion. That's important. You're always welcome here. Nancy.
My name is Nancy Santos, and I'm the president of Friends of Silver Saddle Ranch. I volunteer. Well, I just want to talk from that perspective. I've actually been involved with the ranch since inception in like 2000, when the BLM first initiated the volunteer group idea. And what's been said tonight by Mike and even Mr. Hartman is true. You have to have somebody in the agency. Not filling this position would be insane. I mean, the organization, like for ours example, cannot could not even step in and fill his shoes. Whether it's management or purchasing land, management is going to be worse, way worse. And I look at this little spreadsheet with the jobs that are all under there. Hardly one person could do that and do it well, except for one. You know, and I want to say we appreciate working with him all these years, too. I mean, he makes things easier, and he will listen. So just beware that that volunteers will not be able to step up to do this, even if you want them to. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Any other public comment? Committee comment? Yes, Margie.
From my thoughts, I've been giving this a great deal of thought myself. And Juan is my friend, and he's been my friend for a long time. Well, at least, since 2005. I'm not thinking that the open space needs to replace Juan. Juan has brought the absolutely perfect skill set to get us to the point that we're at. I think that the next person holding the position is going to have a very different skill set, but I don't think that means that the position is any less important. So thank you, Juan. I'm going to miss you. And nobody else calls me Margarita.
I'd like to just make a couple comments. I think Roger's recommendation describes a little different skill set than Juan. In my mind, having been involved in the open space from the time of the election and then subsequently becoming a member of Open Space Committee, my sense of the community is that open space is a wonderful asset that is really supported by the community, both with their sales tax dollars as well as their hearts and their concerns for the community. I am really proud of what Carson City has, and I think it's essential that we step up now with a more intense management, because frankly, we're about to embark on, to paraphrase Marie, somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 acres worth of new management, and we've got a big job ahead of us, and we don't really know completely what that means. And I think it's essential in my mind, as what I see us in our trust responsibility to the supervisors and the community, that we make a recommendation to the board in this matter. And I strongly feel that we need to do that in the form of filling the position of administrator in the context of the outline that we've seen from Roger. So that would be my opinion. Do we have any other members of the committee? Any other final shot for public comments? Hi, Robin.
Hi. Robin Orloff here. I'm Juan, you're going to be missed. I want to tell everyone on this committee thank you for everything you've been doing. It's a tremendous amount of work. And I've enjoyed working, and I'll continue to work with Ann. Roger, I like everything you said. I use all the parks in the city. I appreciate everything you do for the parks. And it's a huge job, and I can't imagine you taking, I know you could take over open space, but I think that would be a huge job. I think, one, it's going to be very difficult to replace you. I like the idea of building on what you've done, and I've appreciated your sense of humor and answering all my emails, and I'm just very grateful for our parks and rec and everything you've done for open space.
Thank you.
And I really like Terry's idea. I don't know if she's still here. Policing, using our
sheriff's department and all their equipment to get into the river areas, Brunswick area, maybe up to Graffiti Rock where there are fires and graffiti. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Robin. More public comment.
Hi, my name is Christy Bucaris. I'm from Churchill County. I drove all the way over here this evening to come to your meeting and to check out your presentations. I spent Friday with Juan because I'm a fellow recreation professional through Nevada Recreation and Park Society. I met all of these wonderful staff that you have. And I just wanted to say that from my time with him and Ann, that your positions really are vital. Everybody has their own jobs that they do specifically, and if taking one out of the picture and not filling that position, you're putting a lot of stress on his coworkers. And watching Juan at work and explaining his position to me, he seems very good at collaborating and making sure that things keep a momentum. I was really surprised. I've been coming to quite a few of our socials and presentations, and it's wonderful that your department has opened that up to Northern Nevada recreational organizations, not just leaving it to Carson City, but including us. And the last tour that I went on was up to your waterfall, and that made me want to come the next weekend and bring my family to check out your resources and the beautification projects that you guys have been working on within your city. So I didn't realize how much work has been done in open space in your area. And I would just hate to see you guys lose that momentum by not filling the position or not considering the impact that it would have on your resources and your department by losing Juan. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Christy. Yes, Howard.
I was just wondering if we, let's just think about volunteer position or some sort of group that comes in here. How would we recruit for that? Would we put out requests for proposals to have somebody volunteer to take care of the assets that Carson City owns?
That's probably exactly what we'd have to do. We would have to request, make a request for qualifications and proposals. You're talking about if we decide to go the alternative route.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's exactly
so we'd probably have some criteria that we would want to,
we would have to develop
filled
that.
In. And all this would be for free, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think if we're talking about
volunteers,
we're talking about, you know, volunteers, a volunteer-free effort.
Okay. That seems like a long shot. But I'm sure there's a lot of consultants or management folks that would be interested in managing for fees. And sometimes I caution on the hiring of management firms or consultants because usually it's a little joke that goes around. There are people who get tired who want to borrow your watch so they can tell you what time it is. So anyway, so that's just, I'm just wondering what that might look like if we did try to recruit a volunteer program.
Another option would be, wouldn't necessarily be completely volunteer managed. I mean, you could put out a request for qualifications and proposals for a nonprofit organization to run the program for you at a fee, you know, at a contracted price.
Certainly. Come on up, John.
John McKenna. The city will address acquiring a group that has a lot of volunteers, the Humane Society of Nevada, to run its animal shelter. That is an example of what could happen. I'm not trying to push one side or the other. All I'm trying to do is get some thinking outside the box. Mr. Kimbrough here was hired as executive director of the Tahoe Rim Trail Association. I was on the group that hired him. The Rim Trail Association has three employees. The city could give money to a nonprofit who would have an executive director and two wands, and they could run it. What I'm looking for is, does government need to be involved in where open space is going, or is it the citizens that need to be involved in where open space is going? I'm just asking for a little bit of outside-of-the-box discussion and thinking. That's all I'm asking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Laura?
And I really appreciate Supervisor McKenna's statements, particularly the statement that, and that we all agree with, that we need to define this new job because we are in a new phase and we need all of us to consider very much what the qualifications should be, what the job should be, and how whoever undertakes that interacts with the citizens of Carson City. We're all citizens of Carson City. We have a lot of volunteers. We have a lot of groups that we partner with. But I see a potential, this concept of having a nonprofit basically step in, I see a potential for conflict there. I see that, you know, I can't imagine a nonprofit being willing, unless it was profit-oriented by whatever we paid them, to undertake the management of Carson City open space if they didn't have, like, a dog in the fight, you know? I mean, I would see a problem as much as we all just honor and respect muscle power. You know, anybody that would be willing to do that is coming probably from a constituency that has its own predetermined ideas about how open space should be used. I feel very strongly. We all, I'm sure, are involved in other boards and other volunteer organizations. For example, the Carson Greenhouse, which I provided the money to start in about, I don't know, 6 years ago. We have the same group of dedicated volunteers. We have a greenhouse that's not bigger than this room. We have a clear mission statement, and we don't have a lot of money, we have a full-time person managing that greenhouse, in spite of the fact that we have, compared to the task here, it's minuscule. And without that consistency, without that person keeping things moving forward, as dedicated as we all are, and as much as we all share a common vision, I'm not sure it would be the success that it's been. So I feel very strongly that, you know, all the statements that have been made in support of filling this position with a professional to keep everything on track fairly and work with all of the citizens of Carson City that have come together from various constituencies, various volunteer activities, you know, we've seen so many presentations of over the years. I just think this is so important. I think it would be a tragedy, really, to let it go now. So thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Any other comments from the committee? Final opportunity for public comment. Yes, Nancy.
Nancy Santos. I just wanted to say again that, as like what you were saying, a volunteer organization has their own mission statement, would not encompass all the things that Roger needs to fill this position. So you'd have to change your whole mission, and it really just wouldn't work. I mean, we are a volunteer group, and we're focused on Silver Saddle. To expand beyond that is not realistic. So anyway, I just wanted to say I still agree with Roger.
Thank you, Nancy. Final public comment opportunity. District Attorney's Office comment. Anything from?
No, I don't have one.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. Do we have a motion from the committee?
I'll make that motion. Move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors filling the soon-to-be-vacant position of the Open Space Administrator. And consider the comments we heard today in public and from the advisory board.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any more committee comment, discussion, final public comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, unanimously passed. Not everybody is able to leave their position in a way that nobody wants to attempt to fill the shoes that are being left. Juan, you've done a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, back to you, Juan. Item 3C, possible action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the expenditure of additional funds approximating $16,530 from open space land acquisition account towards the purchase of a strip of land 20 feet wide, 1,421 feet long, from the Arrays Family Trust, Family 1993 Trust, for the extension of the freeway multi-use path from Highway 50 South towards Fifth Street. Juan, how do I pronounce that family name?
Arraif.
I'll ask somebody else. Thanks, Juan.
It's one of the few things I can do well. Will you mention it to Steve Harmon? And Juan can't pronounce Arraif.
One second, Juan. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I don't want to interrupt. This is very important. I am not, disclosing and abstaining from this, having represented the property owner concerning this property. A non-related issue long ago, but still. Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
And how do you pronounce the name?
I don't even try. I'm an expert.
Mr. Chairman, a few months back, I came to you and asked you for approximately $20,000 in order to conduct some appraisals and hopefully purchase a strip of land necessary for the extension of the freeway trail. The appraisal was done, and the value of the land was higher than we anticipated. We came back and tried to put as much as we can. Believe me, I tried to do my best on the RTC, Regional Transportation Commission, our partner in this transaction. The Regional Transportation Commission very kindly but firmly explained that they're bringing about more than $680,000 into the transaction. And therefore, they will ask us if we can increase our amount to complete the purchase by the amount listed in the staff report, which is $16,500 and some. The RTC also, in order to keep me happy, we're able to, or not to keep me happy. The RTC also increased the amount that they will donate towards the transaction, and they're adding $10,000 on their side. I believe everybody is aware of where the property is, so we don't need to go into that. Any questions or any clarifications?
One clarification. If I understand correctly, this would complete the linkage, trail linkage from Fifth Street to Highway 50, this piece. There are other pieces, but they're donated, right?
Right. This is one of the pieces that is needed in order to complete the entire route from approximately the Boys and Girls Club on Northridge Drive all the way down to Fifth Street, provided, again, that the grant can be implemented to do that, to build the grant is for our $650,000, not counting this acquisition. So hopefully there will be money enough to do the entire project.
Thank you, Juan. I'm sure RTC has their hands full with the weather the last couple of weeks. So, Patrick, did you have anything to add or anything you'd like the committee to be aware of?
Patrick Pittenger, Transportation Manager. Not particularly, but I've been here so long, I just feel compelled to say that we only did it really to make Juan happy on his way out, because he has been very good to work with. And I want to just say that we did actually get our official award now that the federal transportation funding has been extended. We actually did get our official award letter for this grant in the last week or so. So we're very happy with that. And I want to make sure I point out that we only did it with the support of many different people, different departments, different volunteer citizen groups. We had consultants, muscle powered, and of course, Roger and his staff. You know, Vern was there, Juan was there. So we're very happy that we're actually going to be able to continue moving forward on this path. And we do have a plan. We did a corridor plan to eventually get the freeway path all the way down the entire length of the freeway. So this is just the next step moving forward.
This is a great linkage, Patrick, and thank you guys for your efforts. This will really be a nice piece of the trail puzzle in Carson, and you've done some nice trails along around the freeway, so thank you. Yep. Yes, Howard.
Question for Mr. Pittenger. So, and the TAP funds have been budgeted for, because during the grant application process, they were talking about budget has not been identified yet.
Nope, they were simply waiting for an extension of MAP 21 or some other official notification.
Oh, that's great.
Now that MAP 21 was extended, at least through May of next year, NDOT has, I presume, transmitted all of the TAP award letters. I know that our Safe Routes School Coordinator also got an award letter as well.
And then one other question for Juan. You say that this is within budget, this extra amount that we were considering now. Is this extra amount going to delay any other projects that are being worked on or eliminate any other projects? So this...
No, this amount will not delay or be... or we are not taking off any specific project in order to be able to complete this acquisition.
Okay, so there's some residual funds from savings from elsewhere or something like
right,
that.
Right, correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Great, thank you, Patrick. Any other public comment? Further comments from the committee? Are we ready for a motion? Donna.
Since the freeway multi-use path was caused the birth of muscle power to begin with, I would like to move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the expenditure of additional funds, approximately $16,530, from the open space land acquisition account towards the purchase of a strip of land 20 feet wide and 1,421 feet long from the Ariza Family 1993 Trust for the extension of the freeway multi-use path from Highway 50 South towards 5th Street.
Thank you, Donna. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further committee comments? Yes, Trish.
It doesn't say it will connect with 5th Street. It only says towards 5th Street. Is that
a linear ditch trail, which is along 5th Street.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And abstain. Please make sure we note that Laura has abstained. Okay, non-action items, reports only, status report and announcements from staff.
Mr. Chairman, on the VNT trail project, we received notice through our consultant, Mark Kimbrough, that NDOT is just about to issue the encroachment permit. And what that means is that we'll be able to think about constructing the loop from the main VNT. We also have a meeting with NDOT, I'm sorry, with State Lands, regarding the extension of the trail and clarify some points as to their participation on the program or on the project. Switching to Ash Canyon Trail, Mr. Potter just left, but informed me that they're very close. Actually, he told me that he would not tell me how close they are, that I needed to go and look for myself, which I said, I'll be more than happy to do that. I'll probably bring a committee member or two when we do that. We're working, the bridges are ordered. We obtained a grant to pay for them. We're working on the ordering. The gabions are actually, they have been ordered. We're now trying to find the rock to fill the gabions and at the same time coordinate with the National Guard to help us fly the bridges into the vicinity or right at the place. The next project is the 319H grant. I'm pleased to inform the committee that the funds were used for rock lining a ditch just beyond the water tanks, and it was a successful program, a successful project, and it came out very nicely, and it survived the rain. Of course, it wasn't as hard on that side as it was on the opposite side. But we went and took a look, and everything looked very well. So it worked for the way it was intended. I also have to give you some notice of concern. Mr. Michael Fagan, the owner of Horse Creek Ranch, have given us notice that he intends to sell the land. We do have right of first refusal, and he has written a formal letter for us. We have 45 days to make a recommendation to the board of supervisors, who is the body that can accept or reject. Without going into the merits, the staff believe that the land is protected, so the new owner will be subject to the requirements of the easement. And most likely our recommendation will be along those lines. This may have to be single item meeting, maybe at noon or some other time. We'll call and figure out when we can have a quorum to, and when we can notice to be able to proceed expeditiously.
Excuse me, Juan, that meeting would be to formally recommend a response by the supervisors to the notice of first refusal or opportunity for first refusal?
Correct.
Okay.
I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you, the committee, very much for the opportunity to be your open space manager for the last 14 years, and for your cooperation and your ability to help me. And I will tell Herman again that you guys understand me. He's the one who have a problem listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Juan. Ann, did you have anything?
I don't think I have anything to add. Thank you.
Okay. Roger's obviously not making comments in here. Any member announcements or requests for information? Yes, Trish.
Well, I first want to say that I'm really glad that you've planned this retirement party for September 4th. And the reason is part of the announcement that I'm making is if you're going to have some special meeting about Horse Creek Ranch, I will be unavailable, out of the country, and not communicating with anyone from September 9th through October 7th. So I'm sorry, I probably won't make that special meeting, but I will make your retirement party.
Are you in a place where we can come and join you? We can have a meeting.
35-hour flight to South Africa. Join me if you'd like.
Okay. Other comments from the committee? Toby.
I don't have a date for the Crescent River cleanup, but as last year, it was on the same day as National Public Lands Day. This year's National Public Lands Day is September 27th. Which is, I think, probably the third Saturday or Saturday in September. So if that date does correspond, we will be helping out with that event again.
Great. If once you know, maybe we can get word to the committee members because we won't have another meeting by then. Roger, did you have anything staff-wise to add to what you missed from Juan and Ann?
No, sir. Okay. Unless you have any questions.
I would just, Juan, I'm going to be gone on the 4th of September, so I won't be able to attend your retirement party. I certainly wish you well. As I mentioned before, we really appreciated, I think, and benefited from your hard work and your dedication to open space. We appreciate everything you've done. I think we have a legacy that you should be very proud of. You've been a big part of it, and we look forward to having you able to help us with questions and, volunteer within certain parameters in the future. I see the Swedish flags on the announcement. We hope you enjoy your Volvo, and we wish you the best. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We have, I believe I'm instructed to ask one more time for any final public comments. Okay. With that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you, Juan.